This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Is it possible to make a profit from making the world a better place? The founders of a new Virginia-based business are betting that it is. They call themselves Ayeha, from the Cherokee meaning to hold in hand. And in this case, what they're hoping to help others hold are small efforts to restore damaged portions of Mother Earth. They say these projects can be just about anything, enhancing a damaged stream bed, restoring a diminished wetland, even an outdoor science project teaching 10-year-olds about nature, anything likely to result in aiding the environment to recover from stress and pollution. So how do you make money off such an idea? And why should the rest of us care? We've asked two of Ayeha's founders here to explain, as well as tell us why they believe social media will be key to their success. All that coming up right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. Mike Collins and Barry Long are two of the co-founders of an unusual new combination of a for-profit business and environmental action group that is called Ayeha. Gentlemen, welcome to the Insight Studios.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell us what you're trying to accomplish and how you hope to go about it.
Well, let's start off pretending that we're peeling an onion here, and let's start off at the outer layers of that and then proceed.
So this is Michael Collins, by the way.
I'm Mike, and I'm here with my partner, Barry Long. Ayeha is an economic development system that creates local commerce and environmental restoration. So we start right off the bat with creating an online platform that brings together the business world and the world of environmental projects.
Yep. One of the things that Mike and I realized is both of us come from a background working in either local or regional government, or I've worked on the state level Department of Conservation, and we were involved in either planning or environmental restoration work. And one of the things that we saw often missing from that component was a way of involving local communities in restoration projects in their own areas. And that those communities also include the local businesses who have an interest in seeing these projects succeed and move forward. And so in our conversations together, we've been working on this idea for how to bring this mutual system of mutual benefits into a kind of self-moving circle of support.
So I hear from both of you that you have what you think is a nice idea, but if I was somebody who just tuned into this radio station,
right,
listening to you describe what you've described so far, yep, I wouldn't know what it is.
It's a funding system.
Should we use an example?
I was just going to say that right now, and for the past since the 1960s, human civilization here in the West has realized that there are environmental problems, and so we have to a substantial degree turned to two sources to fund the problems that we have. We've turned to government, and we've turned to philanthropy. Both of those are important and need to continue. Those sources, in our view, and historically, have been particularly adept at funding large environmental needs. And when I say large needs, these would be more projects that are expensive to implement.
Multi-million dollar.
Well,
sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, hundreds of millions, or sometimes even in the upper tens of thousands, upper five figures. What has been difficult, one of the things that I think we ought to say is that Ayeha is a spinoff company of the nonprofit organization of Conserve, which I work for. Conserve was started in 2006, and Conserve was started based on the premise that the environmental problems that all of us see, whether it's water quality, whether it's loss of certain kinds of animal species or plant species, whether it's air issues, that these are all symptoms of an underlying economic issue. And so Conserve was developed to get at the underlying economic issues that are what we think are driving forces for the environmental problems that we have. Conserve is an R&D organization, and as we develop—
Again, we're getting— So I'm gonna back up here.
Okay.
I have sort of a disadvantage, Mike Collins and Barry Long, because I have talked to the two of you at length. I've talked to any number of people from different government agencies or foundations or other entities who have worked with one or both of you in the past and are very impressed with your previous work and are very hopeful about this new project.
Yes.
Right.
And I think I have some understanding of what this new project is.
Right.
So now I'm going to try and put words on it and then ask you if I'm close. Okay. So the audience has a better understanding of what we're talking about. Ayeha comes from the Cherokee, meaning to hold in hand. As a matter of fact, I talked with a native Cherokee speaker earlier today by phone at the Cherokee Nation Museum in Eastern North Carolina to double check. And he said, well, they're close on the pronunciation. Actually, and I'm going to try and imitate him. The correct pronunciation would be Ayeha, but we're going to call it Ayeha for now. The implication is that you want to hold in hand some restoration of Mother Earth, of the environment. And what you are going to do, as I understand it, is raise funding for small environmental projects that can be anything from restoring a portion of a stream someplace or helping with well water someplace or something that in some level is going to feed into some small improvement to the Chesapeake Bay or some educational classes, or as I think we're going to hear a little bit later in this program from some people in Winchester that you're hoping to work with, something that actually is going to help restore an area of a battlefield, but you'll be involved in it because there are environmental components of bringing yes. that land back to its natural state. And your idea for how to do this involves raising small amounts of money from hundreds or thousands of people who want to contribute. And so instead of applying to the government and spending tens of thousands of dollars to compete for a $10 million project,
right.
some small project that needs $10,000 can turn to you, and you're hoping that through social media you'll have lots of people contribute $50, $100 at a time.
There are two parts of this that if you want to put
okay,
it
okay, but just tell me if that description
that is
Bingo. Close.
That's Bingo. It.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We need to put Tom on the payroll.
Yeah, right.
So in addition to this, you're saying that the people who are going to contribute are going to get some benefit other than just feeling good about donating $50 or $100 to a small environmental restoration or education project.
That's correct.
Well, tell me about what you think people, why anybody would help you out.
Okay. Do you want to do that in those two separate pieces or
however
altogether?
You want to do
okay.
it. I'm going to try and shut up for a while.
Shall I give it a shot?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is Barry. In a nutshell, what we're saying is we all recognize that there are big problems, but there are a whole lot more small problems. And the structures that are in place, whether it's government or foundations, they aren't set up to handle small problems. So our idea is there are a lot more small problems than big ones. Let's do it quick. Let's do it cheap. Let's do it simple, and let's get it done. We have people who see things in their own community, or they see things on their own property that they know. It's not a huge thing. It's not going to be a national issue, but they know it has an effect and they want to do something about it. All we want to do is help those people raise money to get those projects done. And there's two ways that we see of doing that. One is strictly to ask for donations from people who all see the benefit that we'll all get from all of these projects, becoming successful. The other is we recognize that there are local businesses in the area where these projects are who either, because they're in an outdoors business like a sporting goods or a camping store, or maybe they're in the tourist business. These are restaurants or local foods or a microbrewery or a bed and breakfast. These are businesses who have an investment in their community as well and seeing their community succeed. So we see that this is a circle of benefits among the property owners, people who are willing to donate for it, and the businesses in that area to work and combine where their goals all overlap.
Right. And I would say, this is Mike, that it is a circle, but it's maybe more appropriately described as a web. It's a restoration web in which the community, and particularly commerce in a community, is wired into the restoration project, and it's in the hard wiring of the community, and particularly commerce and businesses, into that restoration web that we start to build what some of us refer to sustainability, or we call it a restoration web or restoration commerce. Because until the day comes that the guy who goes to the local, or the man or the woman who goes to the local auto parts store, pays for a part with a check, that maybe they're a backhoe operator that they got when working on a restoration project. Until we start to drive restoration down to that level of economic activity, we're not really restoring ecosystems, which is fundamentally what EA has about. So to repeat what Barry's talking about.
Before you repeat what Barry's talking about, let me get back to the question I asked a few minutes ago.
All right.
Why would somebody contribute to a Yeha for any of the projects that you're hoping to fund?
Because they get a benefit.
Tell me about that.
All right. A Yeha creates a circle or a web of benefits that all parties get something out of the transaction. So Barry referred to a donor. We call them supporters. Supporters are microfunders. And so a microfunder could be a person or a company that maybe wants to contribute at a $25, $50, $100, $500 or greater level of pledge. That person, when they are providing funding, they if it's going to a leader that's a local champion of a project that's a nonprofit, well, we know what happens when that occurs. They get a charitable deduction. We're setting up a system particularly geared to millennials who are now 20 to 35, where
you're talking about specific group of people,
specific target market. That the traditional way we've done it that I just described is great for folks that are, that are boomers. Yeha is primarily set up for millennials, and what we're trying to do with those millennials is tap into the kinds of systems that they're using to help them with their buying patterns. And so we know these are called Groupon, they're called Living Social, and so providing hard good and service product and service discounts, we integrate that with the platform so that the supporter can get a charitable contribution or they can get what we call kudos. Kudos are product and service discounts from local, regional, or in some cases, national companies.
So let me see if I can put this in terms that resonate here for me. If I invest $200 in some project that involves restoring a stream on
sure.
a farm.
Yes.
And the farmer wants this done for any number of reasons, including his care for the environment.
And can't afford it for some reason.
And as a result of my investment and hundreds of other people investing, each of us may get some sort of discount on that farm's goods, or we may get free hay rides or tours of the farm or something that's somehow tied into the organization where the environmental restoration is going on.
Correct. Or also from a local sporting goods retailer.
That wants to, so you said webs. You're connecting whole bunches
Bingo.
Of interested. All right. We also understand that you're asking people to recommend projects that they'd like to see done.
Yes.
So we'll continue with that in about a minute. Our guests on this edition of Virginia Insight, Mike Collins, who is a former environmental planner for the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission, a former owner of a sustainable goods retail store in Charlottesville, and former high school science teacher in Culpeper County. Sitting next to him, Barry Long, who once worked for the Chesapeake Bay Conservation Corps, but for most of his career has focused on photography and computer graphics. Today, Mr. Long and Mr. Collins are working together on a new project called AYEHA. It is a microfunding operation for environmental restoration efforts. In essence, the founders, co-founders, of which Barry and Michael are two, believe that there is a way to encourage people to come together to fund environmental improvement projects, small projects, one at a time, and that a company can make money encouraging people to do this. So if you have questions about such an idea, if you have comments about whether you think it's worthwhile, you can reach us at 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. And joining us now from his office in Winchester, Virginia, is the executive director of the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation, Denman Zirkle. Thank you, sir, for making time for us.
Yes, thank you. How are you?
Good so far. And as I understand it, you have a project, and it's a project that it looks like this new environmental funding group, AYEHA, may be able to help you with. So if you would tell us first, Mr. Zirkle, about this project involving the so-called Third Winchester Battlefield.
Correct. The project is the restoration and interpretation of the Third Winchester Battlefield. It is the...
And what is the Third Winchester Battlefield?
It is the battlefield where the Third Battle of Winchester was fought on October the 19th, 1864. It is or was the largest battle fought in the Shenandoah Valley in the Civil War. It was the site of the largest cavalry charge, not cavalry engagement, but cavalry charge during the Civil War. And it is also an area where we and the Civil War Trust have collected 575 acres of property, part of which has been restored and interpreted, but part has not. And that's the part we're working on right now.
So explain the terms when you're talking about a battlefield like this. Restored and interpreted.
Restoration is the return of a piece of property to its state as it was, as nearly as we can determine it, at the time of the battle, which was 1864. In this case, at Third Winchester, it means returning the property to an agricultural base with both forest land, streams, and cropland. So that's what restoration means in the sense of Third Winchester.
And Denman, the some 500 acres that you've mentioned have been pulled together by your foundation over time, and they were farms, they were businesses.
They were farms. That land was all farm. There's one major aquifer, one major spring on that land, which is still owned by the city of Winchester, and there's one major estate called Hackwood House, which is also on the Third Winchester Battlefield.
And just for reference, where in relation to the city of Winchester are we talking about?
It is 15 minutes northeast of Winchester, and it's in the apex of the triangle formed by routes 11 and 81 north. And you can actually see that battlefield as you're traveling north on 81 and look over to your right just before you exit to go to Stevenson.
So if you restore these 500-plus acres to how they were when the battle, the Third Battle of Winchester, was fought in September of 1864, this land is going to look, some of it's going to look like farm land, but much of it is going to look like it's just been returned to nature.
That's correct.
And what is it that this new organization that we're talking to co-founders Mike Collins and Barry Long about, AYEHA, could do for you to help expedite this effort?
Well, the core of the restoration efforts that are underway right now is a section of the property that is known as the Middle Field. It is a 30-acre former cropland that is south of Redbud Run. It is south of the property itself, and it's where the most intensive fighting of the battle took place on that afternoon in September. That tract of land is roughly overgrown with invasive tree species, with weeds, with brush, whatever you can mention. It's almost impassable to walk through many parts of that former cropland. So the restoration of this field is very important from an historical perspective, but it's also important from an environmentalist perspective because it will establish cool season grasses for continuous no-till hay production, just as it was done during the Civil War. There'll be wildlife habitat improvements, including food plots for deer, for turkey, for bobwhite quail and songbirds. And there's also improvement for outdoor recreation, including passive walking trails, interpretive markers, fence restoration, and so on, all to conform with the way the battlefield looked in 1864. So as you can see, the project means a lot of things to different people. It means more than just the restoration of an historic landscape, but it also means the restoration of an important landscape period. And that's where we think that the sponsors and supporters of AYEA are going to be important to us in terms of restoring that particular segment called the Middle Field. It'll be a magnificently beautiful, environmentally protected place as well as a restored Civil War battlefield.
And, Denman, this is Mike. It's good to hear your voice. We are keenly interested in this particular holding of the foundations. Our particular interest is in the quail restoration aspect. Many folks that may be listening to the show know that quail used to be ubiquitous in Virginia, particularly in the valley, and many years ago at the turn of the century, and now you can hardly see quail. And Department of Game and Fisheries and many other nonprofit organizations are trying to do what they can to restore quail populations, and we feel like that this project of the foundations is a magnificent intersection between the need for Civil War battlefield restoration and ecosystem restoration,
and AYEA's part in what Denman Zirkle from the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation has been describing to us. AYEA, Mike Collins, your new organization's part would be to raise money to help fund these restoration efforts.
That's correct. And so we're meeting the cool thing about it is we're leveraging two societal needs in one place.
To give you an idea of what we're talking about, this field, they want to return it to basically a forest meadow where they mow it periodically and they leave the edges of it wild in other words, this makes this an ideal quail habitat the way they're talking about doing this. The grasses that typically are planted in pastures now are not conducive to wildlife. It's a fairly new strain of grass that is covering everywhere.
So how much money do you think that AYEA can raise to help with the foundation's project, and how are you going to raise it?
Right. Well, what we're looking at now is a phase project, and then initially we're looking at in the low five figure range for the first phase, and it will be.
I have such trouble with numbers. Does that mean $10,000?
In that range, okay. $10,000, $20,000, $30,000.
Okay.
As we think is a fair shot at the first phase of this.
And how are you going to raise it?
Well, we raise it like we do any a project on the platform, and that is we are going to try to optimize the attractiveness of this to our target market, which are millennials and also baby boomers.
Again,
that are
people from the age of 20 to 35.
20 to 35.
Sometimes called the millennials,
right.
Who are really hooked into social media.
They are.
In today's world. And how are you going to pitch this to them? How do you expect to get to persuade them to help?
Can I jump in on that?
This is Barry.
This is Barry. A huge
Barry's going to get closer to the microphone.
A huge part of this whole concept is letting people who have these projects tell their own story, and to do it in a compelling and personal way. We do it through video that eventually all of the project managers will produce themselves, where they literally just get on camera and tell people what it is they want to do and show them. So right now, like Mike and I...
And then you're going to put that and up that on the web?
That will be posted on the web with a description of what it is they want to do, how much money they need, and these kudos benefits that they're willing to exchange to people who make donations. And each project will have different kudos. It may be...
So again, for the sake of anybody who's joined us recently or who was listening before and wasn't quite sure...
What is a kudo?
What is a kudo?
In the case of Denman Zirkle's foundation's project, have you decided what that profit or those kudos might be for the investors?
We're working on that, and we do that with each project independently, because each project is going to have a different set of needs or a different set of things that they can offer.
Denman, do you have any idea what somebody who invests in this project of yours through IEHA might get as a reward?
Yes, we've discussed that, and I think the major reward for investing in projects like this is the spiritual reward of doing something good for the environment, doing something good for battlefield protection, and so on. I don't look at this as an investment where you, like you're buying a stock or a piece of real estate and expecting a 5% per annum return. This is an investment in our future and our heritage and in the ecosystem, as Michael pointed out. Having said that, I think one of the greatest rewards of working for the foundation is being able to visit these battlefields, many like Third Winchester, which are off limits because they haven't been restored and there are no proper walking trails. So one of the rewards that we've discussed for IEHA investors is to form groups of tours where we will take investors and show them the battlefield one afternoon and where the action took place, where 8,000 casualties occurred on that afternoon of September 19, 1864, and how the stream that ran down through this property was so important to the action, and how what happened on this middle field was the decisive point at which the Federals broke through the Confederate ranks and won that victory.
Denman Zirkle from the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation, you have just helped us get a much clearer understanding of what one of apparently the hundreds or even thousands of projects that IEHA hopes to help fund could work. I realize that we've kept you on the phone longer than we had promised, Denman, but I want to thank you so much for making time for us on Virginia Insight.
It was good to be with you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, by the Denman. Way, anybody who wants to know specifically more about the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation, there is a link to the foundation's webpage on our Virginia Insight webpage at WMRA.org. Well, with us now by phone is Professor Wayne Teal, who teaches environmental sciences and James Madison University's Department of Integrated Sciences and Technology. Dr. Teal, thank you for making time for us.
Hey, you're welcome.
So, Professor, I understand that you have only recently learned of this new group, IEHA, but you, I take it, are at least somewhat favorably impressed by what you've learned so far and think what they're trying to accomplish could meet a very real need?
Yes. As a matter of fact, and I got in touch with him from one of the younger millennials. A student in my class is actually Barry's daughter, so we made that connection there.
Tell me about the need that you see and why you think a group like IEHA may be just what's needed to meet the need.
Well, let me use an ecological term, niche, okay?
A niche.
That's a niche. What we have is a number of different places where funding and funders supply funding to do projects. And you've already talked about very large ones. And there are a lot of small ones, like Barry and Mike have talked about, that really go under the radar because it takes almost as much energy to raise the money as you will get when you get a grant you know, you want $5,000 for a project to do a stream bank restoration someplace on a short stretch of stream, it take you $5,000 worth of expenses to try to raise the grant money from the government. So in this particular model, we're talking about being able to leverage hundreds of different sources to raise that same amount of money. And there is a lot of interest among my students and my former students and other people of their age to contribute to these kinds of solutions, but they don't really have the resources yet to be able to give a lot. So if they can say, you know, get a night at a bed and breakfast in return for donating $100 to a project through this organization, and it's a project near where they want to use the bed and breakfast so they can go see it, that seems to me to be a really practical way of getting money into the hands of people that can do the work in the field.
Wayne, you've been an environmental scientist for a considerable period of time. I'm not going to give away your age, but you are older than the millennial group, as am I.
Yeah, no question.
In all that time and experience, can you give us at least one example of a small project that you thought would have been really important to do, but it just didn't fit with the current model of environmental funding?
Oh, yeah, sure. I have one that I was wanting to do last summer. There's a group called the South River Science Team that's working on the South River, and they're doing a lot of work in remediation of the mercury pollution that happened a long time ago, but it's still creeping into the river. They have discovered that there is a charcoal called biochar. This is adapted charcoal that you use in agricultural systems that actually ties up the mercury. Well, what about having a farm on that river produce the biochar for the South River Science Team in order for them to test and then maybe expand the testing to actually some remediation work using the biochar along the stream? That would potentially reduce the amount of mercury that would go into the stream and maybe eventually contribute to cleaning it up. But the amount needed to provide this biochar for them is relatively small. It would be well under $10,000. We can make systems for quite a bit cheaper than that. But it isn't free, and so you still need some funding. And if we can use this kind of technique to get interest in that and then have people contribute small amounts and then pool them together, we could put together a project quite easily on something like that.
Hey, Wayne, it was great to see you all earlier today.
Yeah.
We had a great conversation. The work that that's been going on in Waynesboro with Trout Unlimited, I think, is a sort of another great example that you and your colleagues have been working on.
Yes.
One of the things that really excites me about that is the notion that the town's or the city's economic development department has been involved in that. And we were talking earlier today about the exciting potential to create a project where we're channeling money into a traditional economic development entity that is then used for environmental restoration.
Yeah, and that's, again, the idea of leveraging different parties together to come to these solutions rather than just having individuals.
Wayne, I understand that we pulled you away from a project that you're working on with a student.
Yeah.
But it would be great if we could keep you on the phone for at least a couple minutes more after we get back from this break. Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah, sure. I'll stay on.
We're going to continue this conversation about the, I hate to use this term, new paradigm for environmental restoration. We continue the conversation in 1 minute. In case you've only recently joined us, we should mention again that Ayeha is taken from the Cherokee language, meaning to hold in hand. Ayeha is also the name of the new effort that Mike Collins and Barry Long are working to get off the ground, aimed at creating microfunding for environmental restoration projects. The name of this talk show, by the way, is Virginia Insight, and I'm Tom Graham. And also still with us on the line is environmental scientist from James Madison University, Wayne Teal. One of the reasons, Barry and Michael, you asked to get a chance to talk about what you're doing is because you wanted more people not only to be interested in offering the funding, but also ideas for environmental restoration projects.
It's fair enough. It is ideas, but it's projects. I mean, we are launching the funding platform in spring, and so we have projects now in the pipeline, and we're looking for more. And our market area is the Virginia, Maryland, West Virginia portion of the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So that certainly includes this area of the state. And so we're looking for anything that could, and this is just an example for listeners. These are small projects, and we say small. They range from a few hundred dollars to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. And so those could be river or stream projects, buffers or stream bank restoration. It could be habitat restoration. It could also be cultural projects. We're working with the Shenandoah National Park Trust on what's called Teacher Ranger Teacher, which is a very small amount of money, but will fund a very important project to train public high school teachers to be a ranger, and then they develop curriculum, and they bring that curriculum back into the school. Working with another local high school here, a local chemistry teacher, on water quality equipment that's needed to monitor a tributary of the Shenandoah River. So our projects can span real on-the-ground restoration to cultural projects that provide indirect environmental benefit and everything in between.
So if there's anybody listening right now who has an idea for a project, an actual environmental restoration of some kind, or an educational or cultural project,
please call us.
And you'd like to pitch the idea and see if it fits with this new paradigm of a Yeha, please do call us at 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. Talk to me a little bit more, Barry Long and or Michael Collins, about educational projects.
Well,
I mean, there might be a third grade teacher listening who'd love to do something with her kids that gets them more aware of environmental concerns.
Absolutely. We think the demand for conservation and environmental-related projects with public and private schools in Virginia, Maryland, and West Virginia is huge. And again, this could be for any kind of project that provides bona fide direct or indirect ecosystem benefit. So what does that mean? That just means an awareness. Bona fide student and community awareness of the needs of the area, the ecosystem that they live within. So again, that could be equipment. It could be a stipend for some kind of training, curriculum development.
Could you be paying for the bus to go visit the national park for
conceivably,
bunch of middle school kids?
Possibly, but also on just a more nuts and bolts end of it is just having kids out there helping to plant trees. One of the best ways to prevent nutrients and sediment from destroying a trout stream is just to have a natural tree buffer that grows along the edge and keeps it from eroding. You know, that's a very simple concept that even elementary school kids can understand.
I have one example as well. We're putting in a garden at Keister Elementary School with a second grade teacher as the primary teacher at the school. It has a butterfly garden, and so we're trying to put in native plant species in the butterfly garden, as well as have a vegetable garden along with it. We struggled for quite a while to get funding for this, and I can see Yeha actually being a vehicle for getting local business sponsors of a garden like that coordinated to come in. They would get kudos, perhaps as a plaque on the raised bed or something like that, where they get some information out there about their business, but that they are contributing then to the education of the students, who will be able to see a variety of different local butterfly species as well as native plants. So we could do something like that as well.
My my spouse Anna is a French teacher at Orange County High School,
mm-hmm.
And I'm a former public school teacher. We all know that schools today are in tough shape when it comes to funding. Many athletic departments are doing self-funding with kids. Kids are, you know, playing to you know, pay football. I mean, that's stuff that was sort of, I still can't believe that we've come to the age when kids are having to, you know, pay for to play football at public school, but that's another show. But so the need is out there for financial support for projects that schools wish to do, and for those projects that have an environmental or conservation aspect to them, you know, we want to know about those and see if we can help.
Mike Collins, you, I think it's fair to say, have more experience than your colleague Barry Long working on environmental projects. I mean, Barry did work for a time shortly after, it was after college, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Right.
For the Virginia Chesapeake Conservation Corps.
It was the Department of Conservation, Chesapeake Bay Youth Conservation Corps.
But you, Michael, have worked for a number of years as an environmental planner for the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission based in Charlottesville. You also started and were the head of, for a number of years, the Town Planning Commission for the town of Orange.
Mm-hmm.
You've been active with this nonprofit Conserve, which also is a nonprofit, but a kind of a new economic model of encouraging environmental restoration and health.
Right. And
so
I think,
let me ask you about where you are now.
Right.
Do you and Barry and your other partner for AYEHA, are these full-time jobs for the three of you?
It's equal to a full-time job in terms of getting it off the ground, certainly.
And you intend to get paid for this?
We aren't yet, but one day we hope to.
So tell me how you're going to make money off of this.
Right, right. So, Tom, when you contacted us and we were in the pre-interview, we were struggling with sort of, you know, how do we define ourselves? And we are entrepreneurs. In this case, we are what are called, I think some would say, social or environmental entrepreneurs. And so AYEHA, it's important for folks to know, I think, that it was chartered last year under Virginia's new benefit corp legislation. Virginia, in the 2011 General Assembly session, created something called a benefit corp. There's probably a half dozen states in Virginia that have approved that form of corporation.
A half dozen states in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. A benefit corp says that the shareholders of the corporation must take social and environmental ramifications of their business decisions into consideration as much as they take their financial decisions into consideration about how they run the company. AYEHA in 2011 was chartered as the fourth benefit corp in the Commonwealth that's been created under that statute.
I love how much detail that you can give me, Michael, and I think it's probably fascinating to people listening. But I want to make sure we don't run out of time before I hear the answer to the question.
Okay.
How are you going to make money?
So the point is thank you. Get to the point. AYEHA is a for-profit company, and so we make money by getting 10% of the funds that are raised and that go to the project. Now, this also gives me an opportunity to say that because of this business model, we want to, where it's legitimate, fund entities that are providing projects, fund project development costs. As someone that works for a nonprofit, I'm very aware of the difficulty today in not only getting funds for anything, but it's very hard to get funds for the staff costs that are associated with environmental and conservation projects.
So let me just make sure I understand. If you raise $10,000 for a project,
right,
that you expect to come in from microfunding donations of $50, $100, $200, primarily from people who see about this project on social media, and that you expect to be largely in the millennial age group of 20 to 35, you raise $10,000 for a project, the project gets $9,000, you get $1,000, and you split it among the three partners of AYEHA.
Well, it would be nice if it was that kind of a split.
Right.
But that has to cover all of our expenses as well as just, you know, keeping the lights on,
okay.
on there.
Right. So
but you keep 1,000 out of every 10,000
right.
that you raise.
And that's still not right. That's not quite right. There's an important piece that's missing out of that, and that is that we also want to take a portion of that money to those that originate the projects and create a free structure with them so that it's not just – it's not a Yeha creating a funding platform. It's a Yeha creating a funding ecosystem. Where money goes into a Yeha, yes, it goes out for administrative costs, but it also goes out to the field, to those, whether it's a nonprofit conservation organization or folks that, you know, students that may be working with Wayne, they have costs that they have to cover to create these projects and then do project management on these projects. We recognize that, and we have created this system so that those costs can be built into that funding stream.
Professor Wayne Thiel from James Madison University. I realize that Wayne, you're an environmental scientist, not an economist or a business administration guy.
Right.
But in terms of your awareness of how funding works for the kind of major projects that we were talking before, and the fact that so many small projects can't afford to go after that kind of funding. This idea of a for-profit, a special, newly created in Virginia, type of for-profit funding group comes in, takes 10% off the top, and the rest of the money goes to fund environmental restoration. How does that strike you?
Well, actually, it strikes me as quite reasonable. In fact, a lot of times when you get a grant, there are a significant fraction of it that goes to administrative costs. On larger grants, it's often as high as 45%. And so 10% is not unusual. In fact, it's actually rather low. And if we can get 90% out to the field and actually into field work or to pay the people to be able to get there, that makes perfect sense. Oftentimes, the leading expense of a student is simply gas money to drive from JMU to the field site where we're doing the experiment. And if we can cover that, which often aren't covered in grants, that would be great.
This
is Barry Long.
This is Barry, yes. One of the driving goals that Mike and I have behind all of this is to have more of the money that is contributed for environmental restoration actually go to doing that work. So one of the things that we're trying to do is to set up a system where these overhead costs are reduced to the lowest point that we can feasibly make it work and yet still have all of the costs covered. As Wayne mentioned, you know, a lot of these grants, not only does it cost you $5,000 to apply for a $5,000 grant, but, you know, there are all these other additional costs that come in behind that. In other words, a $5,000 project ends up costing $40,000, and we just don't think makes good economic sense.
So for anybody who's just joined us, we should mention one more time that a Yeha is a word taken from the Cherokee language, meaning to hold in hand. A Yeha, also the name of the new business Mike Collins and Barry Long are working to get off the ground, aimed at creating microfunding for environmental restoration projects. And also on the phone line with us is a gentleman who just recently found out about a Yeha and is positively impressed so far, environmental scientist from James Madison University, Wayne Thiel. We got less than 2 minutes left. What have we not covered about a Yeha that you want to make sure people hear about?
Well, if there's any callers that are just clicked into the station, I think, again, we want folks to know that we are launching the funding system at www.ayeha.com.
You want to spell Ayeha for people?
Absolutely. A-H-Y-A-Y-H-A. And what we are looking for now is a few more projects to seed the platform. And these can be projects in the few $100 range to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 range. So
you want people to suggest things to you for which you would go out and find funding?
Correct. And again, the range on these could be actually on-the-ground environmental restoration projects to cultural projects involving schools and anything in between.
Wayne Thiel, you have any other ideas for projects you'd like to see done?
Well, I know that my students will come up with many over the next couple of months if I tell them about this opportunity. So, yeah, there are many ideas out there. I think some of them get squashed before they actually have an idea of where they can get funding. And if we provide the opportunity to say, hey, if you've got a good idea, here's where to go, I think we'll actually come up with more.
Wayne, we've kept
you
on the
whole
phone
list. Anyway.
Much longer than we intended, but, okay. But thank you so much for making time for us.
You're welcome.
Barry Long, you're the web guru. Your
yes.
website has only recently become active.
There's a bare bones up there now, but check back because we'll be adding examples of exactly what we're talking about here very shortly.
But if somebody wants to know more,
sure,
they can go to ayeha.com.
Correct.
And see your wonderful photography, since you're a professional photographer as well, and you love
right.
taking pictures of nature.
Thank you. Yeah. In fact, I didn't mention it, but when we were out filming at the 3rd Winchester Battlefield, in just a couple of hours, we saw and filmed beaver, hawks, flocks of Canadian geese.
And some of those are going to probably show up
they
on
will
your
show
website.
Up there. We have a video already, yes.
Our guests have been Barry Long and Michael Collins, two of the co-founders of the new company dedicated to raising funds for environmental restoration projects, that company called Ayeha. Mike and Barry, thank you so much for making time for us. You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org, then clicking on programs, and then clicking on Virginia Insight. And if you go to our Virginia Insight page, you will find links to more information about Ayeha. Thanks for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.